The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all as we gather this Lord's Day here at the First Presbyterian Church of Knoxville for Christ in the heart of Knoxville. Join me now as we read responsibly from Psalm 34. Let us read together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. We have sung, "We adore you, we believe." Let us now pray together, praying first the prayer of confession found in the bulletin, and follow it then with our silent personal confession. God of freedom, who liberates us from captivity, release us with your forgiveness this day. Prisoners to self-interest, we have disregarded neighbors. When slander has been rampant, we have remained silent. Where rumor is tantalizing, we have been willing vehicles to increase hurt. We give a blind eye to the need around us. Help us to halt our destructive ways, lest we consume ourselves and others. Free us from the chains of self-righteousness, retribution, and indifference. In your liberty, enable us to love as you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Since God has forgiven us in Christ, we are free to share God's peace, indeed God's forgiveness, one with another. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us share words of peace one with another. Our first scripture reading of the morning will be read by Donna Young.
Our first scripture reading is a responsive reading, so I'll ask all of you to open your pew Bibles. We'll be turning to the Old Testament, page 576. This will be Psalm 136. Psalm 136 is a two-part psalm with a solo voice and then a refrain or chorus. After each solo line of the psalm, the chorus responds, "For his steadfast love endures forever." This morning, I will read the solo line, and after each line, I invite you to join in the reading of Psalm 136 by responding with the refrain, "For his steadfast love endures forever." We'll be reading verses 1 through 9, and then we will skip to verses 23 through 26. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders? Who by understanding made the heavens,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth on the waters,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who made the great lights,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night, it is he who remembered us in our low estate, and rescued us from our foes, who gives food to all flesh. O give thanks to the God of heaven.
Forward now for our time with the children. We got everybody here. Good morning. We have the table set this morning, don't we?
Yep.
We're going to have communion. Is it going to be a big meal? Is there lots to eat on that table?
No.
No, there's not that much to eat. Just a little. How big a piece of bread do they get?
This big.
You think it's that big? How about what the people eat out here? How big a piece of bread do they get?
This big.
Think that? No, I think it's this. Oh, I think it's real small. And how big a cup do they get? Do they get a cup this big?
No.
Oh, I think it's a little cup. That's right.
No.
That's right. But you know, when we gather for this meal, it's not the amount of food that matters. Because we can all go home or go out to eat somewhere and find plenty of food. What matters is we eat together. Now, I want you to look out here. You see all these people out here? How many of you can name everybody in the room? Me, I can't do it either. There are some folks I don't know out there. Do you eat meals with strangers?
No,
not usually, do you? But you know, when we come in this room, we're not strangers anymore. We're all part of the family. And so even though we don't know everybody's name, they're our brothers, they're our sisters, they're our aunts and uncles, they're our cousins, they're part of our family. So today, it's not how much we eat, but it's who we eat with today that matters. And we got a big family to eat with. I want you to pray with me, and I'm going to say a line, and I want you to repeat it after me. Can you do that with me? So let's bow our heads, fold our hands, and let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for people, for this church, for this table that makes us one, one in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can join your leaders here for extended session.
This was the point in the service where we have the choir sing, and I've been sitting there waiting for them to sing, but they're waiting for me to preach. A brief word about the sermon this morning. Most of you have heard a sermon or two in your lifetime. And so you know something about the format of a sermon. It's 3 points and a prayer, right? Or sometimes it's what I call a facet sermon, where you look at the diamond from a lot of different perspectives. Sometimes they're the problem-solving sermons. It starts with, oh, isn't life miserable? And the good news of the gospel is. Today's sermon is what is called synchronicity. That's a wonderful word, synchronicity. It means time together. It means taking a biblical story and overlaying it with our time and mixing and matching them all together. So we're going to practice a little synchronicity today. We're going to take a Bible story and move backwards and forwards and overlap the time. First, the story. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 and following. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There we were washing our nets after a long day's work. And Jesus dropped by. Sometimes he does that in the midst of our regular task. He just kind of drops in. And all he asked was to stand in one of our boats to teach the crowds. Well, our work was done. The boats were docked. I mean, we were putting things up. If he wants to stand in one of our boats, well, sure. You know, isn't it great to be able to do a good turn and not to have to go into any trouble? You know, our boat was docked. We were finished. We could continue to wash our nets. Jesus could teach, and we could do him a favor. I mean, that's multitasking at its best. I mean, it's sort of like that friend I have who has that golf tournament that's for homeless needs, for Interfaith Hospitality Network or Family Promise that we are hosting right now. He puts it on every year. It's called Golf for Good, which means you can go out and play golf, have fun and fellowship, and think about and raise money for the homeless. You know, it's easy. Sometimes what Jesus asks us to do is so easy. Just let him on the boat. Let him into our plans. Let him into our regular agendas. Doc for God, golf for good. But sometimes what he asks is hard. I mean, we had finished our work. We'd worked all night. We were putting up our nets. It's time to relax, time to take it easy. And Jesus says, put out into the deep. Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Go back out now. We've washed our nets. We've put everything up. I mean, we fished all night. We haven't caught a thing. And after all, what does a son of a carpenter know about fishing? I mean, don't we know our business? We don't need anyone, and not even Jesus, to tell us how to do our business. I don't know about you, but sometimes I do the right thing for the wrong reason. I mean, just because I have to do it, just because somebody's watching, just because somebody is nagging, just because I'm supposed to. You know, sometimes I do the right thing, but there's no spirit of rightness, no spirit of goodness in it. It's doing it the way Simon Peter said, "If you say so, Jesus, if you say so, if you say so, then we'll go back out into the deep water. We'll go through the motions. We aren't going to catch anything." And then there's that overflow of fish. It's too much for one boat. We needed to have others come and help us. We were only doing what we were supposed to be doing, and you know, when Jesus tells us to do something, we are supposed to do it. But we had no expectation. We were downright resistant. And God smiled. Simon, of course, responded to this abundance in a way that shows us the way. Seeing the great catch, he can only say, "Go away, Lord, for I am a sinful man." See, Simon knew, as we had known, that we'd only been going through the motions. We'd followed the instructions, but not the spirit of the instructions. Now, usually what I do in that kind of situation, where I've been doing the right thing even though I wasn't intended to do it, usually what I do there when things go well, I begin to take credit for it. You know, it's my victory. I've done the right thing. I'm getting rewarded. But Simon showed us the true way. We'd only been going through the motions. And God smiled. And it was a God thing. It was a grace thing. It wasn't reward for our effort. Simon tells Jesus the truth. "Lord, we really don't deserve to be in your presence when we were doing it just because we were supposed to." At this point in the massive catch of fish, Jesus could have said those immortal words, those immortal but distancing words. He could have said, "I told you so." True, but distancing. "I told you so." It would have been right, but it would have increased the distance. And Jesus is not willing to increase the distance. And in fact, he wants to close the distance. He wants to stay with us. We who have done the right reluctantly. We who beneath our self-righteousness know that it's not our doing, that it's a God thing. We who want to say, well, you can't want me around. Jesus says, do not be afraid. More than fish in abundance, do not be afraid of the real catch that is coming. And the real catch is people. You see, we can get so caught up in our schedules, our work, our errands, our have-tos, our supposed-to, our to-do list, and there's no spirit in them. And when grace overflows, it catches us by surprise, or we start taking credit for it ourselves. And Jesus doesn't say, I told you so. And it's not even about the blessings of the catch. It's about the preparation for the catch that will follow. Jesus is preparing us for relationships. God's blessings are preparing us for relationships, to be a blessing to others. You know, it was just a couple of Sundays ago when we had our visitors from Knox Fellowship, and Margot Elliott, one of the leaders, talked about her morning routine. I remember what she said. She said, before she gets out of bed, before she puts her feet on the floor, she says a prayer. She says, God, there's somebody out there today for whom I am to be a witness. There's somebody out there today that I am to be their blessing. Help me to see it. Yeah, I knew that already. You and I have heard Jesus say that at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Go out into the world, making disciples, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. I knew that already. It's what he said in the Gospel of John, where at the end where he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. It's what Jesus said in Acts, where he's telling his followers about what to expect of the future. And he says, you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where you live. Up the road in Samaria, where nobody wanted to go. And to the ends of the earth, which I think includes Knoxville, Tennessee. Blessed for relationships, catching people. So here's what we have today. Do good when it's easy. Dock for good. Let Jesus on board. And do what he says to do even when it's hard. Grace will surprise us. And above all, do not be afraid. We will share in and spread the faith in our relationships to others. Blessed to be a blessing. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we pray for your presence among us. Indeed, oh God, for your blessing that will lead us into the future faithfully and trusting you. This we pray in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Let us join together as we affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us stand and say what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
I invite you now to take a moment to take note of the life of the church as indicated in the bulletin, particularly the turnip patch times and the inserts that you will find there. I highlight for you again the retreat that is coming up for the entire church family in April, and you'll see a notice about that in the turnip patch times. I continue to highlight that we are making some movement forward with our Christian education staffing, and there's a particular box about that. I invite you to read that and note that online there is further information about the job description for those three positions. I particularly want you to take a moment to pull out the insert that refers to Lent and the schedule that is ahead. We are fast approaching February the 17th, which is Ash Wednesday. That will mark our Lenten season. Following February the 17th, there will be multiple opportunities to practice your Lenten practices on Wednesdays. There is a Wednesday lunch that will and devotion each day, each Wednesday during Lent, and you see the schedule there at the various churches downtown. And what a remarkable lineup for you for Lenten practices in our adult studies, from spiritual gifts taught by Paul Rader. If any of you have done the Strength Finders, you've already done this, but I did this with a leadership retreat a couple of years ago, and if you'd like to learn it again, or if you haven't done this, you can see about it. Liz Peterson will be doing the Faith Stories event that you see there, and we will have Jack Davis, a beloved associate pastor of this congregation, back with us and serving and teaching in a mindful journey of the soul. Carl Jung, C.S. Lewis, Albert Einstein, and John Polkinghorne. What a remarkable lineup. So, again, I invite you to make your plans and to take this home and to keep up with what is going on for Lent. This is our Communion Sunday. It is also Super Bowl Sunday, super in terms of soup. And at the door following this service, there will be youth who will make a collection that will go for our fish pantry for needs, for nutrition needs in our community. If you did not bring a can or some kind of dry good with you, they take that other dry thing called money. So please, let's fill the soup bowls and make your donation as you go out. Finally, this morning, we will have two young people helping and bringing the elements forward. That will be Nicole Iddens and Callie Fisher will be our children bringing our elements forward for communion. Let us now continue in worship with our prayers of the people.
One additional announcement in relation to the retreat in April. We have a couple of volunteers who would like to drive the church van to the retreat. If any of you don't want to drive alone, perhaps you're older or you just don't want to get out by yourself, there will be an opportunity for you to get to the retreat. You just have to let us know and you can ride to and fro in the church van. As you begin thinking about our prayers of the people this morning, at least three of our members have been in and out of the hospital in the last week or so: Alan Smith, Ethel Skaggs, and Kelly Norrell. We ask your continued prayers for them as they recover from the various things. And please continue to remember the folks in Haiti. I know last Sunday you remember last Sunday. It was supposed to have been our fifth Sunday, and the fifth Sunday offering was to go specifically to Haiti relief, and perhaps not as many of you were able to make it here as you wanted. There is still time to contribute through the church to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance for Haiti, and I'd encourage you to do so. Let us pray together. Almighty and gracious God, we are grateful for your self-disclosure in Jesus of Nazareth. Not because he was so unlike us, but because he was so like you. So like you that we could look at him and see you. We could listen to him and hear you. So like you that we could read his mind and know yours. We could learn his will and obey yours. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the revealer of you to us and of us to you. And we thank you for all those who keep the vision of him vivid and the spirit of him vital. Those who, launching their search for you, study his journey with you. Those who, seeking your will for them, ponder your guidance of him. Those who, confronting the snares of temptation, examine his rebuke of the tempter, and those who, living in the shadow of suffering, remember his victory at Calvary. Oh God, our story has been of peaks and valleys, with too many valleys and too few peaks. Again and again you have called us to take the high ground, but found us content to settle for the low. More anxious to keep the friendship of the privileged than to secure the rights of the disadvantaged. More ready to appease the mighty than to applaud the merciful. More willing in the struggle for justice to sit on the sidelines than to stand in the front lines. More concerned to guarantee the fortunes of our people than to enrich the future of your people. More disposed to claim your support of our causes than to risk our support for your cause. We pray, O God, that you will make the story of our lives not only different, but better. We pray that you will enable us to perceive and to mediate the presence of Christ. Deliver us from all the habits of mind and heart and conduct that might hide Christ from our neighbors. And grant us the grace so to represent Christ that his appearances will continue without end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us join together in the prayer that our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please pass the friendship books down along your pew, noting any changes of personal information or any prayer requests that you might have. And now on this fifth Sunday in ordinary time, let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Please be seated. John Calvin wrote this about his liturgy. God has received us once for all into His family to hold us not only as servants, but as children. Therefore, to fulfill the duties of a father concerned for his offspring, He undertakes also to nourish us throughout the course of our life. To this end, therefore, He has given to His church a spiritual banquet wherein Christ attests Himself to be the life-giving bread upon which our souls feed unto true and blessed immortality. Let us now worship as our Reformed forefathers and foremothers worshiped 500 years ago.
Three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the Apostle Paul relate that Christ took bread and, giving thanks, broke it, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you."
Of the cup, Matthew and Mark speak as follows: "This cup is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for forgiveness of sins."
Jesus said, "Come to Me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls."
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty."
He also said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled."
Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these Your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup that we bless and share may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In His name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Partake, please.
Thank you.
Let us join together in the collect printed in your bulletins. Eternal God, we give you eternal praise and thanks that you have drawn us into the communion of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the true bread of heaven and drink for eternal life. Grant us now this further benefit, that we may never forget these things, but hold them always in our hearts, so that we may grow in grace, increase in faith, and serve you in all we do. So may we live to the praise of your glory and serve others even as in Christ you have served us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who in the unity of the Holy Spirit lives and reigns with you, O God, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, go in peace, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you now and forever. Amen.